Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
And I want you to welcome the Word today and the pastor who is the man of the Word today, Pastor Shane.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome. I feel encouraged. It's a nice place to start when you're bringing the Word. Everybody good?
Yeah.
I was quite pleased I managed to avoid those photographs at the beginning. Every time a different one rolled around, I was half expecting me in my Superman onesie to turn up. Now, everybody can talk about all the different amazing testimonies that happened at camp. For me, I got converted.
Yeah.
To the amazing world of onesies. I've always kind of been against onesies. I once tried one on, it looked horrendous. Now, the night when it got pretty cold and Angus turned, got his fleecy Darth Vader onesie on, and I just thought, oh, you know what? That looks so warm. I was so cold last night. And bless Hazel, the next day, she throws a bag at me with a fleece Superman onesie in there. And Sam's face just dropped. I was kind of like, why have you done that? I'll leave that to you two to sort out. But she said, it looks ridiculous. You look like a man baby. But I'm glad it keeps you warm on a night. And it does. So where was this when Elijah was born? It was freezing cold in the middle of the night in January, having to go up with him. It's like, if I had this then. But there you go. So onesies are amazing. The revelation I said to Hazel was that this is the biggest revelation I've had since I converted from PC to Mac.
Yes!
And found out how much better Apple products are than all the other stuff in the market. So now I'm converted to onesie. Even Pastor Paul's disgrace at me walking into the toilets on Thursday night in it didn't hurt. It kind of sounds like, Shane! Like, yes? He's like, okay. It's like, somebody bought me as a gift. It's like, did they not like you very much? It says, it's great. It keeps you warm in your tent. It says, yes, I'm sure it's great for your tent. But walking around the camp is another matter. So he probably walked away thinking, this is a guy who's taken on the church that I started and he's walking around faith. What have I done? On the handover Sunday when I turn up in my Superman onesie. That's not going to happen. But it has been a great week and it's been amazing to be a part of what God is really doing. And the week before camp, obviously, I was preaching about hearing from God and being in a position where you learn to hear from God for yourself. And I really hope that the word that God brought that Sunday helped a lot of you at camp to be really focusing on listening to God and recognizing it's not Pastor Lynn's, Pastor Shane's, Andy Elms, Pastor Clive, Pastor Colin, Aaron Jane, or anybody else's job to hear from God for you. It's to encourage you in what you're hearing from God and to give you direction and wisdom in that. And this last week, God has spoken so much. I mean, the words that Pastor Colin's been bringing have been so foundational and so powerful for the foundation of the church, particularly in this country. The stuff he's been bringing is so key. They're so key that this is the word. It does not change. You can say as many times as you like, it doesn't matter what the word says because God's pleased with me anyway. If you're not living the word, God's not pleased. You know, you can big it up, you can trim it up as much as you like, you can pour as much grace on it as you like, but if you're living contrary to the word, God is not pleased. You know, he wants you to live in grace and live in truth. And that stuff that Pastor Colin was bringing about grace and truth and how Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. And as I continue to work through that, the whole thing that it didn't come with a measure of each. It's not a balance. It's not something you have to try and find a balance of. It came full of grace and full of truth. It came full of them both. And that's an amazing thing to really grab a hold of because there's not a balance to strike. We talk about what's the balance between grace and truth. What are the things that we need to strike a balance of? There is no balance. Jesus came full of both. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is awesome, but he's only amazing as awesome as you allow him to be. Okay, Jesus can be the most amazing thing in your life if you allow him to be. You can say Jesus is amazing. You can sing the songs. You can read the books. You can do all those things. But if you're not allowing Jesus to be amazing in your life, then he's not going to be amazing in your life. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself onto you. He's not going to say, you're doing that wrong, so I'm going to change it. It's all on you to change that. He's put his spirit in you already. The power of the spirit is in you to do that. So today, I want to just look at a few things about applying God's word and applying the stuff that we're here, whether it's been at faith camp, whether it's when we're here on a Sunday, whether it's when we're reading a book, whether it's reading the word. If we're not applying it, we are wasting our time. God's really been drilling me on some of this stuff. So this morning I'm probably going to be a bit harder than I usually am because God's been a little hard on me. Okay. Now, God has put this stuff into us to be there, to be used and to be put into practice. If we don't use it, and I was just thinking about this in context of a program which I watched, I don't know why I watched it, I think it was just on, it's called Obese, A Year to Save My Life, where basically this guy who's like a trained fitness instructor and dietitian will take somebody on who's kind of on the verge of dying because they're so big, and he will take them for a whole year, and we'll give them things to apply to get them to a weight which is healthy and get them living a lifestyle which is healthy. Now, to have somebody like that, I could pay a fortune and have that guy come and live with me and say, right, I want you to put together all my diet plans, my training plans, and I will pay you to do it. But it's not going to help me one little bit if I don't do anything with it. I can be going around saying, this is really great, I've got the guy off of Obese, A Year to Save My Life, who's a celebrity dietitian and fitness instructor, he's coming to my house every day, he's helping me train, he's giving me these things to do. But if I don't do anything with it, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change, I'm not going to get any better. And that was so clear on this program that at first this guy launched off and he was so into it and he lost loads of weight really quickly. And then all of a sudden, he stopped applying the stuff that the guy had said. He started slipping back to going on to his computer games all the time, not doing the cardio that the guy had asked him to do, not sticking to the different stuff. And as soon as he didn't apply what the guy was telling him to do, it all started to go wrong again. And he wasn't losing the weight with the same speed that it was before. And it's exactly the same with God's word. Whether it's the stuff you read yourself, whether it's the stuff we read at camp, if we don't do anything with it, then it's just nothing more than entertainment. And you know, Andy Elms is an amazing, entertaining speaker who will have you rolling and laughing. But if all you come away from camp is Andy Elms is really funny, then you might as well book tickets to go and see Peter Kay. Yeah. Because that's about as much change as it's going to have. You might as well have gone to see Michael McIntyre or some other stand-up comic that'll come on, make you laugh, and not necessarily impact or change your life. Now, the stuff that Andy Elms brought is funny and it's amazing, but the truths that he brings in with that is the stuff that changes your life. When all the laughter's stopped, when the tent's packed away, when all the rain stopped, when the boiling sunshine stopped, when everything's back in the attic, as it is, thank goodness my stuff's back in the attic, you've been home, you had a proper shower. The things that made you laugh are not necessarily going to be the things that continue to strengthen you on the day when you need it. The things that were spoken, the things that you take. So I just want to look at this with regards to what the word says, with regards to applying the word and applying those things in our lives. And just look at a few things that, how do we do that? Because sometimes it's very easy to come away, even on a Sunday morning, thinking that word was great and I know what was being said and I understand it, but I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do next. And especially if we hear massive things and we get big revelations, you know, such as Mia feeling that God told her she's going to go to Bible college. That's a big thing. That's a big thing to hear. I remember when God mentioned to me about going to Bible college, kind of had the same reaction, so don't worry about it. In fact, everybody who's been to Roffey, did you all like jump around with joy that you were going to Roffey? No. Steve did. Steve knew he was going to meet his wife. You know, there is not that. I was kind of like, I'm not sure about this. There's a bit of excitement, there was kind of backwards and forwards, and I was like looking for every reason not to go, even as far down as when the stuff came out and there was like a dress code for lectures and stuff, which I don't think they bother with now. I was like, they can't tell me how to dress. I'll go into lectures and wear whatever I want to wear. What do they think it is? A concentration camp? It's supposed to be a Bible camp. And having all these arguments, having all these talks, and like some of the stuff that were even mentioned that you couldn't wear, I didn't even know what it was. And it's kind of like, I'd never heard of a singlet. Yeah, a singlet, like a vest. I was like, what on earth is a singlet? I had to ask somebody when I got there. I said, it's like a vest. I was like, all right, so you're not allowed to wear vests in the lecture. I was like, no, I was like, why didn't I just say that then? A singlet. I was like, but it is down south, so there's room for, anyway. But it's amazing when you hear that. But when we hear those kinds of things from God, we sometimes think, I don't know what to do with this. This is a big thing. God, I need your help with sorting with this. But let's, first of all, let's have a look at Philippians 4:19. Says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Keep putting into practice all you learned, all you received, and all you saw me doing. If we don't keep putting it into practice, it eventually just becomes something that we no longer do anymore. If we hear a word, think it's great, get encouraged, launch off into something, but then kind of forget and lose our way, we kind of just lose what God is wanting us to do with that stuff. We lose that whole picture, and it's the same for anything. It doesn't. It's not even just down to the Word of God. Any single thing that we get, any single thing that we use, anything that we have is, if it's not applied, it doesn't work. Now, there's certain ways of doing things. You can try and cut corners. It never quite works. You know, there's that whole joke in there about men, like, they'll start to try and build something, and then they'll realise they can't do it, and then resort to the instructions. So, I've got the job today of adjusting Elijah's cot into being the cot bed, after he did a Superman trick and flew himself over the bars last night. He obviously enjoyed the freedom of not having the bars at faith camp. So when I heard an almighty thud on the floor and some pattering feet come running through the door, it was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And I was trying to find out, how do I adjust this bed to be a cot bed rather than being a cot? And Sam's first response was, have you still not got the instructions? No, I don't even think I saw the instructions, but I figured it out. But if I don't apply the principles, it's going to be a bit of a mess. The bed's going to look an absolute mess. If I don't apply the principles of how the designer has made it to be, if I start sticking screws where they're not meant to be, if I start putting pieces of wood where it's not meant to be, it's not going to look much like a bed. It'll look like something from the Tate Modern or something like that. You never know, I might make a fortune. Like the messed up cot bed, something like that. So people actually look at that stuff and pay to see it. There you go. But if I don't apply those principles, it's not going to work. Something's not going to happen. James 1, 22 to 25 also says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The whole description of, you know, if it's like looking in a mirror and then going away and forget what you look like, I kind of find that, I don't know about anybody else, but that's quite funny to me. I actually find that quite comical. There's some of these things in the Bible that just make me laugh and make me chuckle. I think about that. Look at myself, looking great today. Then, like, you're walking around for the rest of the day, aren't you? It's like, have you seen that picture of you? What picture of me? That one. Is that me? Yes, that's you. Oh, I can't remember what I look like. It's kind of like, you know, we don't forget what we look like. You know, if I look in a reflection, I don't, like, think, oh, wow, that guy's good looking. I wonder what his name is. But, oh, it's me. You know, it doesn't, you know, if I see my reflection, I know that it's me. I know the difference between looking in a mirror and looking at a picture of somebody else. I don't get confused with looking at a portrait of Shakespeare and think, is it me? Am I looking in a mirror? Or am I looking at a picture? I know it's a picture, and I know when it's a mirror. I don't lose that ability. And likewise, if I don't, you know, just that description, you know, I mean, I don't know about anybody, I just find that really comical, you know, looking in a mirror, forget what you look like, and you keep having to go back to the mirror to think, remind yourself what you look like. I mean, even Elijah knows what he looks like. He can point at pictures of himself and know, that's me. He's 18 months old. He knows the difference between a picture of somebody else and a picture of himself and a reflection of himself. So you'd have to be pretty dumb, really, to be kind of thinking, I don't know what I look like. I forgot what I look like, kind of thing. Unless you've got an issue, that's something different. But we won't go there. But, you know, otherwise, you're only fooling yourself if you don't do anything with it. You're fooling yourself. You come, you get encouraged, you get built up, and you go away and you think, right, I'm going to do something with this, and nothing happens. And Steve briefly touched on this already from some of the stuff that Andy Allen was bringing at camp, and it's this whole point that I want to focus on before I just look at different ways of how we do that. And it's the whole thing of applying the word, but knowing how we continue to apply that word. Andy Allen's made a great statement about how he doesn't make decisions in the hype of a Sunday morning. He waits till the cold light of day on Monday when he's sat with a coffee to make those big decisions. Now, if you're like me, at some point you've been at Faith Camp, you've been at a church service, you've been at a ladies' weekend, a men's weekend, or some kind of conference where something happens, you're like, yes, I'm going to do this. This is what I am going to do. I am changing this. This is going to change. Everything's going to be different. And you kind of make that declaration, and then you get to Monday morning, you wake up and you think, oh, why did I say that? Now I've got to do something with it. Now I've got to do something. Andy Elms's example was a guy in church who kind of like needed some people to help him with his decorating, and this guy was kind of like, yeah, I'll help you do your decorating. When the guy's like, oh, great, when? First thing Monday morning. And then the guy wakes up first thing Monday morning, like, oh, why did I say that? Like, in the hype of the whole thing, launches off into something. But sometimes we launch off into something and we do ourselves more damage than we do good. Because we start to disappoint ourselves then, and we start to beat ourselves up, and we think, I should never have done that. I should never have made that decision. I should never have spoken that thing out. I should have waited until I was out of the hype of everything. And I'm not talking about like being directed by the Spirit and God invading into you. I'm talking about when you get a little tingly because the music's a little louder than it normally is, or somebody makes you laugh a little more than they normally do. You know, not unnecessarily a move of God, but something that you just think, oh yeah, feel a bit good actually. Music's loud today. Lights are flashing. This is good. Yeah, God, I'll tell you what, I'll put that in there. Yeah, that can go in. Actually, where's my car keys? They're in my bag. My bag's in there. But I'll put everything in there. And then you get up Sunday morning, you're like, I've got no car, I've got no house, I've got no phone, I've got no wallet. And you kind of think, God, why did you ask me to do that? And God's like, don't come blaming me. But I get my phone back out of there. Don't come blaming me. You just got a little excited because your favourite song was coming on in the worship. You know, it's like, you know, just because I started doing How Great Is Our God, it didn't mean you had to throw your credit card in the offering. Just because I started singing Come By Our. You know, every time I walk past the youth at Faith Camp, they're always sat in a circle. I was kind of expecting them to crack out in Come By Our or something. I was so disappointed that Matt wasn't there with a guitar and a rainbow guitar strap and socks and sandals. You had the beard. You know, kind of going for it like proper old school unit leader, unit T style. But maybe next year, eh? But, you know, just because everything happens and you get a bit excited, then the next day you get to that point and you think, I'm just not happy about this. Something's not right. And God's kind of saying, don't blame me for this. This is not how I directed you. This is not how I guided you to do that. You just got a little excited and you launched off into something. And I said the week before camp about that difference between, there's a fine line between stupidity and initiative, and a fine line between wise and being unwise. And those things are such a fine line. And sometimes it needs that little bit of a, this is a big decision. I can't just allow the heat of the moment and the excitement of the moment to invade so much that I make this massive decision and launch off and do something and then start to retract it back the next day. And because God, you know, if we're going to throw our all in, it's something that we do need to consider. And I found what Andy Ans was saying quite freeing, actually, because I've always struggled with this battle of kind of being wise, but is being wise being reserved? Am I withholding from God? Is hanging around just to sit with this a little bit and get the right decision, is that a lack of faith? And the stuff that he was bringing was powerful and freeing in a way of saying, no, it's not actually. You just need to ensure that what you're doing is the right thing and that it matches up with God's word and it's what God is saying for you. And as I was talking about before, about getting that wisdom from people that are further down the line and getting the wisdom to do the right thing. And, you know, those things that we sometimes launch off into, we could save ourselves a lot of heartache and we could save other people a lot of disappointment if we were to just sometimes sit with it a little bit longer. And as we come away from things like Faith Camp, we're always going to come away, and I just know that this is the case because it's just the way that God works. We always come away with two things, really. The first one being the thing that you need to apply instantly. You're at camp and you know, or you're at a Sunday morning service, or you're at any kind of conference, you're somewhere and you just know that God pierces something straight in and says, this is what you need to apply. This is something that needs to happen today. There's no waiting around for this one. You need to make a change. This is something that needs to change in your life. This is something you need to start outworking now. And the second thing is the things that you store up in your heart, just as Mary did. And I'm going to read that scripture because that's an amazing passage with regards to the birth of Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Go from verse 16. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. Thought about them often. She kept them in her heart. If you notice, the shepherds were the ones that were running around telling everybody about Jesus and what they'd heard from the angels. Mary wasn't the one running around gloating about the son that she'd just given birth to. That my son's the son of God, my son's the Messiah, my son's going to save your sins. She stored these things up in her heart because she knew the thing that she had to apply at that moment in time was she had to be a mother. Yeah. She had the son of God to raise. She had nappies to change. She had a baby to feed. She had a baby to look after and nurture. Practical application instantly was, there's a baby that is entrusted to me that I now have to raise. All that other stuff is going to be stored in my heart. All that other stuff is going to be something that I will outwork as this child grows. All this other stuff is what's going to be released from me as I watch my son go through what he has to go through, as I watch him be flogged, as I watch him be nailed to a cross, as I watch him be beaten. All those things that are stored up in her heart were stored up for that time. They were stored up as the different times released through Jesus' life. Those things that were stored were constantly being released. Now, when we come away from a Sunday morning, when we come away from hearing any teacher of the word, anything that we read, there's going to be something which you get straight away, which what's the equivalent of the baby that you have to look after? What's the equivalent of the thing that instantly needs to be sorted? What's the thing that needs to happen straight away? What needs to change? What is it that God is saying? Do something about this now, because this has gone on too long. Do something about this now, because you don't need to be waiting around any longer. But what's the stuff that God's saying? Sit with it for a bit. Store it up in your heart. You know, back in 2010, when God spoke to me about taking on the church, that's something I had to store up in my heart. I couldn't go running around saying, hey, I'm going to be the pastor of this church one day. I'd have looked like an idiot. And it wouldn't have been a right way of going about it. That would have been arrogance. I'd have been a bit of a Joseph, wouldn't I? The stuff that had to be stored up in my heart, and it was Pastor Lynn who gave me that advice, actually. Not you, Joseph, don't worry. I had a little snigger come from the young people over there. Like taking it personal and just walking out, leaving. No, not you. I'm sure you know that. Pastor Lynn gave me that advice at that time. He said, store it up in your heart. And that was so key, because there was stuff that I had to apply instantly when God spoke to me about that. There was stuff I had to start to change in my life that would start to put me in position to launch forward and go into what God had got. But all the other things have had to be stored up in my heart. And, you know, I'm not the kind of person that does very well at storing things in my heart. I'm not the kind of person that stores things away very well. I want to have it all out kind of thing. I'm I'm rubbish at keeping stuff in. But I'm getting better at that because God's showing me how when that stuff's percolating in my heart and stuff's percolating inside of me, it starts to grow and starts to fester in a good way and ferment in a good way and starts to move something inside of me that grows. And that is what God has got for each and every one of us. Whenever we sit under the word, and wherever that might be, wherever we're receiving that word from, whether it's in the comfort of our own home reading the Bible, whether it's in our church, whether it's at Faith Camp, the stuff that we receive, there's always going to be that two-way thing. What needs to change now? What's something that God's put on the inside of me that needs to be stored up and to outwork gradually? And sometimes those things that when it comes to light in the cold light of day and you sat on Monday morning with your coffee and you think, why did I make that decision? That's the time when you really need to get with God and say, okay, God, I've done this. Is this right? And it's all about that fine line again between stupidity and initiative, fine line between wisdom and being unwise, engaging the different things of how do I apply this stuff? How do I apply the things of God? How do I apply what I've heard? So the majority of us this week have been at Peterborough and have been at Faith Camp and will have received loads of stuff. So what is it tomorrow morning when the majority of people are back at work and everything starts to kick in again and, as I say, you know, the tents are away, the stuff's packed up for another year. How does that look now? How does that look for you? How does it look every Monday morning when you've been to church on a Sunday and you've heard from God? How does it look first thing on a Monday morning when it's ready to launch into the world and do the things which God has spoken to you about? How does that look for you? How does that look? How does Jesus working in your life work? Is it something which you just forget about? Do we just come, be hearers of the word and not doers and think, had a great time, saw some nice people, heard an encouraging message or a challenging message, depends how you receive it, might be both. Had a nice coffee, went home, church done, box ticked, great. Or is it, do you go home and do you wrestle with the stuff that you got? You know, I've been wrestling with some stuff from Faith Camp these last few days. It's kind of like it becomes consuming. The stuff that you're with God all the time. God, what about this? But what about this? But you said that. Now this is what you're saying. And all these different things that go around and you struggle all the time. But everything always needs to come back to this book. The Word of God.
Yeah.
Everything comes back to this. Everything that you've heard, everything that you see, everything that people say. If it doesn't match up with this, then you know you're on the wrong path. If it matches up with this, you know you can start to move forward and go into the things that God is speaking to you. The things that you need to apply instantly. Bang, I need to do that tomorrow morning. That is the first thing I've got to do. The things that you need to store up, the things that are going to percolate, the things that are going to ferment on the inside and draw even more out of you. Those are the things which, you know, they're the treasures which God places on the inside of you. They're the seeds of greatness which crack open at the right time. They're the things that start to come forth when you think, man, I never even knew that was in me. The amount of times that we've probably all found ourselves in situations where I think there's no way I can do this, and then something else cracks open on the inside of us because of what's been stored up on the inside and enables us to do stuff that we never thought we'd be able to do. I think, thank you, God, that all that time ago you stored something up on the inside of me which is now coming forth, which is now coming to pass, which is now cracking forth. And It's a tension to hold, it's a tension to manage, finding out what is it I need to do now and what is it that God wants me to store up. But as we continue to be led by His Spirit, as we continue to know that God is saying this, then we can't go wrong. As I said before, you know, the Holy Spirit is 100% guarantee of success every time. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you and you're allowing the Word to guide you, and as I said before, you know, we can't start to change things in our life to try and come further and further away from God's word. If it's in the word, it's what God says, and that is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I just loved about this week. The stuff Pastor Colin's been bringing about, you know, the hyper grace movement and the whole thing of, you know, just thrusting so much grace into the church that it's just unhealthy and starting to do away with the truth of God. And the truth is the truth. And it doesn't change. And I don't, you know, it doesn't matter who says it, how big the church is. If it doesn't match up with God, then yes, their churches might be big and the stuff that they're doing might look great, but it's not the Word of God. And, you know, the stuff that we're doing and the stuff in this house, we're a house that accepts Jesus, full of grace and full of truth.
Yes.
We don't just take it as a measure, and we don't start to pick and have a little bit of a buffet and think, well, we'll have the truth there, but we'll have the grace there. We're a house that will always accept Jesus in the fullness of his grace and his truth. And I'm making that declaration now. I'm making that declaration over this place that we will not start to move into hyper grace. We're going to stand firm on God's word as it is. And then the world wants to change God's word. The world can change God's word, but this house isn't going to change God's word. As it is, it is. And in your own life, it's determining that same steely determination to say, I'm not going to deter from this word. I'm not going to deter from what God says. I'm not going to deviate from those things. I'm going to stay strong in what God says. I'm going to stay strong in what he's spoken to me personally. I'm going to stay strong in what he's put already in the word of God. And when I wake up on Monday morning and I've not made any silly decisions because I'm going to sit with it, and I can sit and say, okay, God, what about this now? I'm not with the congregation. I've not got the worship team with me. It's me and you. How does this really look? How does this really work in my life? Because that's what Christianity really is. When you get down to that point of you've repented, you've been saved, you've been baptized, you've come to that place of that strengthening of a relationship with Jesus, and you sit down with Jesus one-to-one and you can have that honest conversation with him without anybody else there and say, how does this work for me? An amazing revelation comes from that. The moment you figure out who Jesus is, and this is another Andy Elms absolute jewel from the men's seminar, the moment that Peter got the revelation of who Jesus was, straight away Jesus told him who he was. The revelation of who Jesus was came first before Peter could understand the revelation of who he was. And for me, I think that kind of encounter is a more of a cold light of day on a Monday morning encounter, rather than bless the Lord, oh my soul, kicking off in the background and your hands are up. And, you know, not that you don't encounter God, you know, please hear me correctly here. You know, we encounter God powerfully in this house. We encounter God in a way that is amazing. But there's sometimes when it just needs to be you and God on your own, sat down, Jesus, this is who you are to me. And Jesus comes around and say, well, if that's how I am to you, then let me tell you who you are. Yeah. And you move forward from that place. And that's something which is a personal relationship with God. Something that the Christian message is amazing. That personal relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit to say, this is who you are, now move forward in it. Don't just live off the back of, you know, big massive decisions that you make. Don't just live off the back of, you know, a faith camp high. Because, you know, I'll be honest, I've been at Rothie and I've been going to faith camp for 10 years. The high doesn't last.
That's right.
The high does not last. You know, I struggled so, when I came out of Bible college, I would possibly had the worst few months of my life. It was an absolute struggle. It was such a strain. It was so difficult to like get out of that place of being living in a place which was on this high. But I came through the other side because I stayed strong in what God had got for me. It was a challenging time, you know. I was missing being at home. I was struggling to still find who I was in God. And I think sometimes we get this idea that they've been to Rothie, so they've got it all together. But in some ways, yes. But in other ways, I'd say more people come out of Rothie kind of broken down, ready for God to build them back up to be who he wants them to be. Some people get through the whole work while they're there. You know, I thought I had until the rubber hit the road, and it was kind of like, whoa, man, God, you're doing a work in me today. You're doing a work in my life today. Mm-hmm. But that high didn't last. The faith camp high doesn't last. And I remember and I'm going to start wrapping up with this now. Early in my walk, and I was going to different conferences, you'd kind of skyrocket up and you'd think, boom, and you'd be like that really annoying person who's going up to everybody else in your church, and you'd be into this conference, and you know, Jesus is amazing, and you get in everybody's face, and you're wearing the one cross plus two nails equals forgiven t-shirt, and you're kind of bouncing around, and you're squirting Sunny Delight all over the church, and it's kind of, you know, you're kind of, everybody's like, who's this guy? And then like, you know, a week later, you're kind of moping around like, yeah, all right. Well, what's it with you last week? You were buzzing. It's like, oh, well, rubbish, innit? Yeah, back to normal life now, innit? You know, what about all that stuff you were saying last week about how you were on fire for God and how you were going to launch into new stuff? Yeah, well, it didn't work out, did it? So it's easy when you're down there and everybody else is doing the same thing. You know, I'm not the only one who's been in that place or experienced people in that place. You know, it's kind of, you always see it with the Bible college students. Not so much this year, but they'll come and they've got this glint in their eye when they arrive. And they're kind of like, they've got this like possessed look in their eye. It's like, all right, yeah, we're here to serve. And then by the end of it, they glint in their eyes like completely destroyed. And they're like this, these broken people getting sent back to Rothy, having like come out of that place. And you're like, think, oh man. And every time somebody comes, you think, yeah, I've been there. I've had the glinted look in my eye. I've been the one that's going to save the world. And I've also been to that place where I've been completely broken down and allowed the grace of God and the truth of God to build me back up to be in that place. But, you know, it's that whole thing of getting it right for you personally. Yeah. You know, you can, every single one of us will come away from this message today with something totally different. Why do you think the four Gospels have got all the different stuff in? Mm-hmm. They were all seeing the same thing with Jesus. They were just seeing it in a different way. We could all write our own little gospel about Faith Camp in the last week, and it's going to be a little different. Yeah. Mine might be focused a little more on being in my tent for 2 hours trying to get Elijah to sleep. Where some people might be like, it was all about the worship, it was all amazing. Some people, it might be about the rogue afternoon tea that the ladies had on Thursday while they I noticed that got on the photos. There you go. Yeah. It might be Sam being excited about being blacked up as a black and white minstrel act and walking around Faith Camp. I'm serious, so when I walked in for the first time I couldn't see the moves. I just saw one side which was blacked. I was kind of like, oh my word, what they're doing? Somebody's going to get really offended by that. I was like, ah, it's the Move logo. It still looks a bit dodgy, but fair enough. If you want to walk around like that, that's fine. But I'm sure that the black and white minstrels were banned a number of years. So were Gollies, but there you go. But yeah, it was quite scary when I saw it for the first time. I thought, what is going on? What's the matter with them? They've lost it. They've not got the glint in their eye. They've just kind of... But no, good job though. Did you get your photograph taken for the brochure? I'd have thought that you and Danielle having... I'm expecting to see it on the brochure next year. But, okay, so to finish then, think about what it is tomorrow morning. How is it going to look tomorrow morning for you? Every Sunday, once you get... What is it that needs to change instantly? What is it that I need to store up and work with? What is it next year when I go to Faith Camp, when God speaks and God moves and the high's gone and all the lights have gone and the smoke machine's gone? And you know, it's an amazing thing, because once all that stuff is amazing, and I love that stuff, and I love the whole attractional vibe, and I love the whole getting things rocking and getting that. But when all that truly is gone, and Andy Elms touched on this a little bit as well, you know, when all that's gone and it comes down to just you and Jesus having your coffee on a Monday morning, are you still got that same excitement? Are you still as excited as you were when you had everybody jumping around you? Are you still as excited as when they were playing your favourite song? Are you still as excited as when you walked through the door and you thought, I'm great, it's great to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, it is. But are you still as excited when it's you and Jesus and you sat there and he's saying, let me tell you about you now. You've got a revelation of who I am. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you are and what you're going to do. Let me tell you about the life you're going to live that's going to be also full of grace and full of truth. Let me tell you about the life that you're going to live when you're not in a tent and you're not surrounded by another 5,000 believers. Let me tell you about the you that you're going to be when you're back in your workplace and everybody's swearing around you and everybody's cursing around you and everybody's dissing you because you've got a faith. Let me tell you about the person you're going to be when the finances start to look a bit rocky and your account's in minus, but you've still got a bill to come through. Let me tell you about the person you are when things are looking really rubbish with your health. Let me tell you about the person you are when you don't think you can get another victory because all you've done is got to a place where you think you're going to lose all the time. Let me tell you about who you are when you feel so crushed, so beaten, and so down. Let me tell you about who you are, and Jesus will tell you about who you are, and none of those things define who you are in Jesus' sight. The victim mentality does not exist in the kingdom. It's only a victim mentality. Victory is the only thing on heaven's agenda. You're not going to get people moping around heaven with a victim mentality. People are not going to be, you're not going to get people with a faith camp glint in their eye either. Everybody will. Pastor Colin says you'll know the people who were at camp because they're the ones walking around with crowns. There you go. But they won't have it because they've cast it before him anyway. So Jesus will tell you who you are in that time. He will strengthen you, and the victim mentality, that's got to go. The hyper grace, got to go. The making rash decisions and bordering on stupidity, got to go. Yeah. The strengthening of faith needs to be built up. Yes. The strengthening of victory needs to be built up. The strengthening of, this is who I am. I'm not going to be one that mopes around saying, this is difficult, this is hard, I can't get over this. Just say, okay, no, don't get me wrong. Things happen that are difficult. You stub your toe, it hurts. Okay, and that, you know, and don't, you know, that's a big issue for you. You know, if you stub your toe, it's a big deal. But, you know, let's get it in perspective that when we start to move into stuff that God's got for us, we move into something that breaks us out of all the moping around, breaks us out of those things, and puts us in a place where we say, in the cold light of day, Jesus, tell me about this. Because I know you are. Encourage me, strengthen me. And I can guarantee God will do that. The amount of encouraging walks with Jesus I've had coming down to this place usually starts around about just after the football club. And God will just start speaking to me the truth about who I am. He'll just start pouring it in on a morning, you know, Sunday morning, any day. Like, I'll start just praising Jesus and start giving God the glory about, Jesus, you're my Saviour. Jesus, you're my life. Jesus, you're my victory. Yeah. And Jesus will start to do the same as he did with Peter. Say, okay, but if that's how I am to you, then let me tell you who you are. And he'll start pouring stuff into me. And I generally find that the things I were declaring about Jesus is what Jesus declares back to me, because that's who I am. That's who I am in Christ. And that can happen in the hype of a service. That can happen in the cold light of day on a Monday morning with a coffee or a tea or a green tea, depending on how healthy you are. Those kinds of things, that's when it really matters. So tomorrow, today even, think on those things. Think about, how does this look for me now? How does this outwork for me every single day? Because if you're just living your life where you're starving yourself throughout the year, and you're binging at faith camp, then you've got an eating disorder for a start. Okay, anybody that starves themselves for long periods of time and then scoffs a lot of stuff, that's an eating disorder. And there's no eating disorders in the kingdom either. It's a constant diet with a little bit of a all-you-can-eat buffet in between. Okay? We love all-you-can-eat buffets. A kismet all-you-can-eat buffet, that's even better. But there you go. But, you know, faith camp's your all-you-can-eat kismet buffet. But what about the rest of your diet throughout the week? What about the rest of your diet throughout the year? That's all the stuff that's going to really link together and cause you to be able to launch forth every single day, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or whatever, as a victor, knowing that Jesus has declared who you are and taken the stuff that you've received, the stuff you can apply instantly, the stuff that you're going to store up in your heart, and take you to a place of, yeah, just an amazing place with God, an amazing place with Jesus, where he's going to continue to reveal who you are. And in some ways, when you look in the mirror and you can't think what I look like, well, maybe that might happen, because you might look at yourself one day in the mirror and you might think, man, you've changed a lot. You're looking a little more like Jesus today. I'm not talking about long hair and a beard and robes. I'm talking about the life force of Jesus. Yeah. Let's stand.